5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello. Welcome to another Tech Talk. It is me, Stephen Scott, back with you here again, and we are heading very quickly towards Christmas. Lots to talk about, of course, in the run-up. And an Apple surprise is what has kind of got a lot of us talking over the last week, so we're going to get into that. And also big news from Amazon, but first let me welcome the guests, of course, to the show, my good friends. I've got Robin Christofferson here from AbilityNet. Hello to you, Robin.
Hello, Stephen.
I was starting to sing. Yes. Also, Tim Schwartz is here from LifeAfterBlindness.com. Hello, Tim. Rob, Tim? Timbo?
Okay, who am I? Tim. I have such an identity crisis when I come on the show. Hello!
I know, but you're only just up, in fairness. You're just working out what day it is. So I could call you Jimbo, Timbo, Bimbo.
And I would probably answer to any of it, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Emails Andy's also here. Hello, Emails Andy.
Hello. How is everyone?
I'm getting a bit tired of the whole Christmas thing, if I'm honest. It's not even happened yet, and I'm sick of it already. My house is basically now, I mean, I always joke about it being a bit of an Amazon warehouse. It now is an Amazon warehouse with all these boxes.
Have been busy.
Yeah, I mean, today, just before we record here, I got about 7 boxes. That was to add to the other 8 that are parked in the hall, waiting to be dealt with. I actually feel like bringing the guy into the house and saying, could you just do my organisation as well? Can we get an Amazon guy to do that? Just wrap the presents and get them all ready to go, stick them under the tree?
You can order them wrapped.
Can you still do that? I didn't think that was a thing anymore.
I think so. Actually, I don't know. But you used to be able to. There was a tick box, wasn't it?
Do you know what I love about this show? It's the facts that you get. Yeah. I think it's the detail. Yeah, it's the information you get, I think, that does it for people.
How long before you get an Amazon sign outside in the front of your house, then?
I think I've got one, which says...
It's an Amazon collection point, because there's a huge number of boxes that he's not taken in yet. People could just come.
I am not kidding you. The other day, outside my house were 3 delivery vans. And, you know, the neighbours were laughing because they were all for me. At the same time, 3 delivery vans turned up.
And they were all full.
And it was joyous. My favourite one this week was, or last week actually was, where I got a message saying, it's behind the wheelie bin. And we're getting our garden done at the moment, so I forgot the wheelie bins had been moved. So I spent half an hour shouting down the phone at someone at Amazon saying, where have you put this thing? It's nowhere near my wheelie bins. And she said, well, I can see it. The driver's taken a picture of it, and he's put it next to your wheelie bin. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute, the wheelie bins aren't here. Where are the wheelie bins again? Okay, thanks, bye! As he quickly remembers where they were. But yeah, it's just crazy, isn't it? It just is absolutely crazy. What a weird year it has been. Everything about this year. I mean, for obvious reasons, right? But I mean, I was thinking about this as well. December, where did that come from? Just out of nowhere. it was June about 5 seconds ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was complaining how quickly the year was going, and that was August.
Yeah, I know.
And that feels like about a fortnight ago.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And yet March feels like 5 years ago.
It does. It really does. And, you know, I was actually thinking back at the point, I was thinking, you know, I wonder which point of the year I kind of realised this was all going south very quickly. You know, and I don't think there was a particular day, but I just, you know, that way it was just creeping up in the news. People were talking more about, you know, possible lockdowns, and we were all just like, yeah, whatever. And in the next minute, I'm at home, and I'm recording all my shows, and, you know, we're doing our thing, but in fairness, we tend to do this remotely because it's kind of hard to get Tim over to the UK in time for the show every week. So that never really
just
worked out. Yeah, so we've been doing the whole Zoom thing for ages anyway. But, yeah, it's just really such a weird year. And, of course, it just gets weirder because Apple started releasing products in December. What's going on? Apple every mucked month. Everything up. Yeah, every month has been an event. I'm getting tired of that as well. So we're
Tim
going to
Cook
talk
decided
about
he didn't have enough of your money. He needed a little bit more.
He wanted more. The question is, did I spend the money? That's the question, but we'll get to that. Okay, so let's talk about Amazon first off. And Amazon announced a big feature that's been in the States for a while. Tim has been beta testing it for us. Thank you, Tim.
Very kind.
And it's finally arrived here. He's worked out all the kinks for you. And it's brilliant. Or is it? Tim, do you use this feature, Show and Tell? Do you have an Echo Show?
I do not have an Echo Show because, I want to lie and to say, well, because visually there's no reason to have one and I don't really need one. But we know that's really not the full truth. The truth is my wife doesn't see the need and hasn't said that I could buy one. So that's really the truth. I haven't purchased one yet. Shh, don't tell anybody. I'm hoping to. But I have talked to some people. Well, maybe. I have spoken with some people who have purchased it and have used it. And wow, Show and Tell sounds so nice.
It is.
Well, I was going to say, Robin, I know you've got one and you've been playing around with it. So, what do you think?
Yeah, really good. If you expect to hold up something and instantly have it recognized, regardless of which side of the can or box or packet or whatever it is that you're holding to the camera, then, you know, I think it's comparable to Seeing AI's product channel for people that have tried that. Mm. It does a combination, I think, of looking for either a barcode or text, because sometimes it says quite a lot of information and sometimes it says found text, blah, de, blah, de, blah. And so I think it's doing two separate things, which is great. I think that's really good. It's probably whatever comes first. I don't know if some products don't have a barcode. I thought they probably all would. But anyway, you just basically hold it up to the Echo with a screen, because then it'll have a camera as well. So that's either the Show 5-inch, 8-inch or 10-inch. And the camera's in the top right corner under the plastic of the screen or glass or whatever it is. But above it, there's a little slider and you can tell if it's active by sliding the slider to the left. And then you just say, "Hey lady, what am I holding?" or "What's in my hand?" And she'll make funny noises and she'll give you verbal instructions about, "Oh, please turn it around a bit," or "Make sure it's about a foot away from the camera and
sounds
about
like my mother.
A foot off the counter." Then it will just read you what it is. I think it's brilliant. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it was supported on the Show 5, which only has a 1.2 megapixel camera originally. I imagine it probably is in the States now because it is here when it came over here. So
yeah. They changed
that. Give it
that.
A go, guys.
But I think was it not originally on the Show 5 only, but not on the 8? Or was it the other way around? I can't remember.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, but it's now on everything. So whatever you get, it will now work. Coming up, we're going to hear from Yvonne Brooks from RNIB's Technology for Life team talking about Show and Tell, but also more widely all of the Amazon devices. If you're listening to this and you may be not aware of how all the different devices work, we thought we'd put this together for you this week just to be a bit of an explainer on all of the different products that are out there from Amazon. But before all that, let's hear from Amazon themselves. Yes, Amazon joining us on the show. Not, I mean, the entire company. That would be quite an impressive feat. But in fact, our UK country representative for Amazon, Dennis Stansbury, joins me now to talk about Show and Tell. Good to have you here on Tech Talk, Dennis.
Thank you for having me.
So, yeah, we're all very excited about Show and Tell, this new feature that has just arrived from the US, actually, because it's been in the US for a little while. It's finally here in the UK. For those who don't know about Show and Tell, how does it work with Amazon's devices?
Sure. So all you need to do is go to the device and basically say, "Alexa, what am I holding?" or "Alexa, what's in my hand" to get started. So, and then Alexa can help you identify items using computer vision and machine learning. So once you do that, you'll need to hold the device in front of the camera. You'll actually hear some beeping noises when you actually get the device or the item in the right area. And then it'll continue beeping while you hold it there. And so as you're holding it there, it'll begin using computer vision to identify the item and tell you what's in your hand.
I mean, it sounds really simple when you say it like that. And I guess it is. And that's the whole point, right? The actual execution from our point of view as blind people is really simple, really informative. But, you know, there's a huge amount of technology behind all of this. I'm intrigued to know, Dennis, how did this feature come to be created in the first place? I mean, did blind people ask Amazon for this?
Yeah. So when you talk about, you know, creating things that are simple, you know, that's part of our philosophy. So Amazon believes in starting with the customer and working backwards. It's a philosophy that we apply to innovating new features or how we use our resources to develop things for, you know, people to use. That means paying attention to what all customers are telling us. And the whole idea for show and tell did come from feedback from blind and partially sighted customers. You know, that they understood that the product identification can be a challenge for some of our customers, and it's something that they wanted Alexa's help with. So actually, my colleague in the US, Sarah Kapliner, who's head of Amazon's Alexa for Everyone team, began working on this. So her team collaborated with the Vista Center for the Blind and the Visually Impaired in Santa Cruz, California, where Sarah is an assistive technology manager. The team also enlisted other blind and low vision customers for the user studies, providing feedback for the Alexa Everywhere team. The Alexa Everywhere team even collaborated closely with blind Amazonians, including principal accessibility researcher Joseph Millet, who is adult blind. So after decades of experience of designing and evaluating the effectiveness of products for people with visual disabilities, he provided valuable insights into product and research. So whether a customer is sorting through a bag of shopping or trying to determine what was left out on the worktop, you know, we just want to make moments simpler to be able to identify what might be there for the blind and partially sighted.
That's fascinating. I didn't realize all the background to that. That's absolutely fantastic. Okay, so I have to get technical with you here, Dennis. How does it know what we're holding in our hands? How does the technology actually work? Can you tell us?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of it is basically just using advanced computer vision and machine learning technologies that basically use patterns on the device to identify patterns of object recognition and then looks for items that have similar and comes back with information for you. There's a lot of technology involved there, and there is complexity to understand how like that's supposed to work, but basically it's computer vision and machine learning technology.
Okay. And it's available across all Echo devices with a screen, right? So you have to have an Echo Show for this to work.
Yeah. So basically you need the camera to be able to do it, and the Echo Shows are the devices that have the camera. So again, it's available on all of our Echo Show devices now for customers.
And is there one device, one Echo Show that's better than the other? Because you've got the Echo Show 5, you've got the Echo Show 8, and you've got the Echo Show 10 with a new edition or new version of that coming soon. So is one better than the other, or do they all perform the same?
You know, I think it really depends on what you're looking for. So, you know, we have, like you said, a wide variety of Echo Show devices that you can choose from, or screens, which are great for video calling. And of course, the devices are still have the camera, which means that you can use features like show and tell. One of the things we often talk about is like, even though they have the screen, they are still designed to be voice forward, meaning that you can edit all the information that you need by listening to Alexa. Well, the screen may just have additional information or clarification. But if you don't need a screen, our new spherical design speakers are beautiful. They sound great. We even have the Echo Dot with a clock, which has a digital clock on it, and you can adjust the brightness for the digital numbers, which is useful for those who might with partial sight.
Absolutely, and that's right. I mean, and the new spherical design is lovely. I've got mine here, and it is lovely.
Nice.
Dennis, it is really, really lovely, and the sound is crisp, it's clear, and that is the case across all of these devices. And I think as well, I know we've talked before about this, but you know, Alexa's voice is, you know, getting better all the time. The artificial intelligence is becoming more human in its delivery, so you know, it's a really enjoyable device to use for that reason.
Yeah, there's been a lot of the great advances in technology regarding text-to-speech, but also kind of speaking patterns for relative content. So whether or not we're talking, reading the news or introducing music, we can actually adapt different speaking styles.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. I want to talk a little bit about your commitment to accessibility at Amazon, because, you know, we talk about the Echo Show today because of the wonderful show and tell feature. But there are many other ways that you can use these devices, irrespective of if you have a disability or not. I think about the most obvious one, which wasn't obvious until it was pointed out to me, was how you can use the Amazon Echo Show, if you're deaf, to talk to someone, because you can connect with that person, they can see you, you can see them, and you can actually speak you know, with sign language. I mean, that is incredible. And, you know, there are many other examples of how these devices can be used to benefit people through accessibility on your website.
Yeah. So we actually created a website to help inform and inspire and provide a single destination for customers to learn about accessibility with Alexa. So you can visit amazon.co.uk/Alexa accessibility. So the hub includes both informational content, how-to guides for Alexa accessibility feature, as well as stories from some of our UK Alexa customers. And for anyone out there who actually has a story to share, we'd love to hear your story as well. You can actually email us at myalexastory@amazon.co.uk.
Fantastic. Dennis Stansbury, as always, great to have you here on RNIB Connect Radio with us. And do come back soon and tell us about all these wonderful features that you're doing. Really appreciate your time.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
And do tell us your thoughts on Echo Show and Tell, the Echo Show Show and Tell, I probably should say. You can email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can also find us on Twitter at RNIB Radio. Does sound like a great feature. We're going to talk more about it a bit later with Yvonne Brooks from the Technology for Life team here at RNIB. He'll be talking us through some of the other products that are available. Dennis did make reference to some of those products. We're going to get into more detail on how they work and how they can benefit us as blind people. That coming up here on Tech Talk. But first, I think it's time for some news.
News from the internet.
Big news from the internet this week. From the fruit company, guys.
Surprise, surprise.
The unexpected hits you between the eyes.
Over the ears.
Or the ears, in this case, yes.
Yeah,
because...
See what I did there?
That was quite clever, actually. I wish I'd thought of that myself, but my brain is not functioning today because I am surrounded by... I mean, if you're thinking that, you know, the room I'm sitting in might seem like it's soundproofed, it's just full of boxes. That's all it is. That's the answer to all your problems, guys. If you've got soundproofing issues, just buy lots of stuff and keep the boxes.
It's your box room.
It's my box room, literally. So, yes, let's talk about Apple. They brought out the AirPods Max. Wow. £549 for a pair of headphones. This is incredible. So I'm going to start with Andy on this one because I think he's ready to probably blow up at the prospect of this. You know, I mean, I know you're not exactly what I would never call you a fanboy of anything, frankly, never mind Apple. But I think that this must just be from the outside looking in, like, you know, me in the bubble going, please take my money, to you going, get away from me.
You know, I know headphones and the high-end headphones are expensive anyway, but come on, £549? That is ridiculous. Comparing to what else is on the market from Apple right now. So their normal AirPods, £159. Even some would say that's pricey. Twice as much as the AirPods Pro. You can currently get them on the Apple website for £249. So what am I getting that's any better? What am I getting that's double the worth, double the price, Stephen? What am I getting for my £550 apart from my bank phoning me, asking me what am I doing and, you know, asking if I want to take another overdraft out or something.
Or like your doctor calling to find out how crazy you are.
Yeah, asking, you know, if I'm...
It's a good thing you haven't got an Apple Watch on because your ECG would be telling you you're...
Yeah. Please sit down. Well, I'll tell you what you're getting. You're getting a perfect balance of exhilarating high-fidelity audio and the effortless magic of AirPods, says the Apple website. What that actually means, nobody knows, right? I mean, just spend the money. Buy them. They'll be great.
Throw it at Apple.
You can't take it with you. Yeah. Just spend it. It is ridiculous.
They're saying a wireless headphones that feature a 40mm dynamic driver designed in-house to cover a range of pitches from deep bass to high-frequency sounds. That's just headphones.
I was going to say, yeah, that's headphones, that. Yeah. It provides audio via your ears.
Sits on your head and you can hear stuff through it. Yeah,
it's going to be done in Apple way, so it's got to be done. I mean, this is the big question: how good is it going to be? And I mean, I've seen a couple of early review videos. They're not saying much at the moment. A lot of these guys seem to be quiet about. They've maybe just got them and they're just, you know, getting through the process of. Like, I think about Marques Brownlee or iJustine, who've been saying, "Oh, I've got them," and "Oh, the cold to the touch," because it's aluminium or aluminum, as Americans tend to say, which is wrong. Yeah,
I mean, sodium and potassium. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, but it's all this. I don't know. It's just it seems a lot of money. That, I mean, compared to, and it's interesting you say AirPods and of course AirPods Pro. And then I think about the HomePod, and I think about the HomePod Pro, and the HomePod Mini. And when I think about those devices, I kind of think around the £200-£300 mark is where it all tops out. These just weirdly seem to be more expensive, and I just wonder, is Apple trying to reposition itself here back into the high-end range? Because they've been for a little while, obviously pulling back on some of these costs. I mean, think about the iPhone SE, which is a lot cheaper. Those kind of devices have been a bit more budget-friendly. The HomePod Mini was £99. So maybe it's time for them to think, we don't want to be a company that just sells cheap stuff. We want to be that luxury, brand that people know. And unfortunately, that does mean you have to spend the money, when in fairness, you could probably buy something from another company better or just as good for a lot less. So, Tim, I'm coming to you on this one. Where are you on this when you heard about the AirPods Max headphones?
I'm still shocked on your blaspheme statement of you could buy from someone else and it would just be better. How dare you,
I honestly believe that the bosses of Bose and Sony were laughing their heads off when this came out.
Oh, absolutely.
You're thinking, we are going to sell so many pairs of headphones now. Thanks, Apple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when the rumor leaked out that this was happening, we really didn't know the price at that point. And then once it was announced, I mean, my first thought was, I'm out. Yeah. There's no way. I mean, even if they're the very best headphones in all the world, the best we've ever heard, I can't. £550 for a pair of headphones? I have a hard time spending, even up to $200 or £200 on a set of headphones. So $550, I can't even think. And I can't even repeat on air what my wife said when she heard how much they were.
I can't imagine.
The things she said they better do for $550, So it's just, I don't know. I think I do agree with you though, Stephen, that this was the year that Apple and other companies as well, with Google, with the Pixel line of phones, this was the year of inexpensive or entry level devices for these companies. With the we had the HomePod Mini, like you said, the 2020 iPhone SE and the Pixel 4a. So we've had that end, which was good for 2020, considering. Well, 2020.
And don't forget Samsung's fan edition of the S20, which again was a lower cost entry level to 5G for Samsung. So, it's kind of similar.
Well, this is true. Exactly. And so, yeah, there are so many of these entry levels that came out this year. And then Apple says, you thought we were just an entry level company. Now, all of a sudden, no, no, no. I mean, of course, they've got the Pros and the Pro Maxes of the iPhones. And that was fantastic. But they had even the iPhone 12 mini there. And then these. I can't believe what these could do. Like you said, that a really good Bose or Sony or Sennheiser or something else is going to do for, say, 200 or even 250 at the most. The sound quality, the noise cancellation, I don't know. There has to be some sort of super uber secret feature to make it worth this. And I don't even know that would make it worth it.
They're advertising it as saying it has 10 audio cores in
each ear.
It could be each ear, it could be built, I don't know. But the headphones are different from a phone, right? When you get a new Apple phone and your friends are seeing it or playing with it and you say, yeah, it's got this great camera on it and it does all this and the screen's this size and Gorilla Glass, so I'm not going to break it when I drop it. It's different with headphones. How are you going to sell to someone by saying, yeah, it's got 10 audio cores and that means I get computational audio? They're just going to look at you like you've gone crazy.
But I think
you probably have if you've got them.
That's the point, though, in some ways, isn't it? That you're not just getting headphones. You're getting an experience, as they would say. And you're getting a lot more than just the sound, because you've got all the ability. These are not just blasting sound into your ears. That computation that they talk about is actually, working out based on the way you're listening, where you're listening, how you're listening, the noise around you. Is it 8 microphones each side, or in total over the whole thing?
I think so.
Earpiece. It's just amazing how much work is gone in here. Apparently, these have been in development for 4 years. Which is, I always find that bit interesting. That's the bit that interests me. It was like the same with the Amazon Echo. It was like 4 or 5 years and maybe longer than that actually in development before we ever came to see it. And it's amazing to think this, because you kind of get the impression sometimes these things are just flung out there, but they're not. And, you know, that's the thing with Apple, in fairness to them. When they come out with something, you know, it tends to hit the mark right out the gate. Robin, is this something you're going to spend money on?
I think you know the answer to that. I mean, I am not the audience for this particular product. You know, Mr. Wasp in a jar, me. I like the audio on the original dots.
Oh, come on.
I just want to listen to stuff. I don't necessarily care what it sounds like. So I'm definitely not the right person who they had in mind for this. But
are you not even tempted by the bra case?
Yeah.
So they brought out this case, right? So my understanding of this case is it's like a purse almost. You know, it's got a little flap that opens up and then you turn the headphones inward. So, you know, you turn them from being, you know, with the way you'd wear them to sort of turning them flat. And then you insert them into this case and then little flap comes over. And it's supposed to be a smart case. I'm not entirely sure what's smart about it.
It makes them go in an ultra low power mode.
Because there's no power button. £550 and there's no button to turn them on or off.
I think what this is doing is a couple of things. One is consolidating their brand as kind of being luxury, but also ludicrously overpriced. And there's probably two different audiences that think, maybe there are some people that think both. But, you know, I mean, we probably actually do think that, don't we? We think they're kind of having a bit of a laugh with this one. Mm. But I think the reason why they've called it AirPods Max is because, as you mentioned before, the other AirPods, which are already selling really well and that some people might have thought were overpriced, now look really good. They look really cheap.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's...
You know, they're doing smart things here. Mm. But as far as sound quality, you know...
Are you suggesting that this company are trying to make money in nefarious ways?
It's marketing is, you know, yeah, the psychology of marketing is tried and tested. If you've got an £18 and a £20, then it's going to make the £18 one look really cheap. Mm. So, you know...
Can I also just on the point of the name, because a lot of people got upset about the name, and as did I until I saw a couple of tweets about it that made me rethink it. AirPods, because I was saying to my wife, I'm saying, you know, it's ridiculous because they're calling them AirPods, and yet I think of AirPods in ear. And she said, yeah, but you don't think that about your HomePod or your iPod. I thought, no, actually, I don't. And I saw someone tweeted about this, and they said, the way that Apple look at this is Air equals wireless, Pod equals music. And that's, if you use that logic, then it all makes perfect sense. So home music, you know, wireless music, and so it goes on. iMusic, don't know what that's for. But yeah, it falls apart at that
one. Airphones. Because then they could have just a standard AirPhones one at, say, $350 or something. But, yeah.
My favourite naming convention that never happened, and it nearly happened, when Apple TV was launched, they were going to call it originally ITV. But there was a slight problem with that, because in the UK, obviously, we've got this, you know, TV network called ITV. And the story goes that Apple wanted to buy the name off ITV. So basically said, look, you know, just call yourself something else, Channel 3 or something, and give us the name. And ITV said, no, we quite like our name, thank you, we'll keep it. And that was that. But
would you be able to get Corey on it? That's the thing.
On an ITV? Well, on Apple TV. Who knows? Well, you can actually, yes, you can. Okay. But yeah, I think this is a really interesting thing. Lots of nice features in it. I mean, I'll be honest, this is essentially headphone version of AirPods, right? So let's not get into the weeds too much on it. Because things that you can get with your AirPods Pro, in particular, I think, maybe more so the AirPods Pro, could be wrong here, but I'm thinking about things like the announcing messages, being able to speak to Siri. You, for example, you know, you get the message come through, it'll say, and I love the way it does it, it goes, da-da-da, text message from Andrew Wynn saying, you know, I'm you know, leaving, I've had enough, or whatever. And then I can say, respond, whatever, and then that's it.
Bye.
And it'll send it. Yeah, whatever. Can you get someone else in? Great. But always on Siri as well, so you can get directions, you can do all the stuff that you would do on your ear. So it's like having Lady A on your head, but, you know, a poorer version. And yeah, this the on-head detection or in-ear detection you get with the Pros, where, you know, you take one out or you take a can off your head to listen to something, and you'll get, you know, the headphones will pause. I also think that the other big seller here, and the initial impressions are that they are very similar in this regard to the AirPods Pros, and that is the transparency mode, which I think, of all the headphones I've tried, the transparency mode on Apple's AirPod Pros were brilliant. The experience was fantastic. And if it's anything like that on this, and I imagine it will be, then it is going to be great. So here's the ultimate question, guys. I know Robin's not going to buy them. I know Tim is not going to be allowed to buy them. I know Andy would rather be dead than buy them. The question is, would I buy
you?
Them?
You? Mm.
That's not a question.
Yeah.
Well, you say that.
I know the...
Yes. Drum roll.
So I didn't...
When are they arriving? Come on,
I
when
didn't
are they arriving?
Buy them.
Yet.
But...
Yeah, there it is.
My wife did. She said to me, she said...
Bless her.
Finally, something you don't have that I can get you for Christmas. So she said, just buy them, will you? So yes, they have been bought. So thank you to my lovely wife, Marie, for buying me these. But yeah, they haven't arrived yet. As we do this, they haven't arrived. They were launched on the 15th. So as the show goes out on the Tuesday, that's the launch day. But I think I'm told they'll come on the 22nd. I'm kind of hoping that's just over-promising and they'll, or under-promising, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah.
Oh, the Christmas is delivering them. How nice.
Exactly. He's going to bring them. Well, I hope he does.
Drop them down the chimney.
Don't drop them.
No.
Apple actually tend to overpromise when it comes to the delivery date. So you should be okay.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm looking forward to them. And of course, the colour I chose was space grey. The digital crown's the other thing that gets me on these. This is, in a way, I think this is going to be, or make these, some of the best headphones that blind people could ever buy. I'm not suggesting anybody is actually going to buy them, but although in saying all this, as much as we all laugh about the price, they were sold out within about, you know, 2 or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Because I went online, I bought mine about an hour after they launched, and at that point, delivery dates were slipping. And if I'd waited 2 more hours, I'd have got nothing because they were all out of stock. So either they've made 5 pairs, and that's it in the whole world. Or they're actually more popular than we might think.
Well, and I think that's the thing right there is Apple is so good at this. You know, we tease about the PR and the marketing and all that. But, I mean, I used to buy $10 or $20 talking watches from Radio Shack just so I could have a talking watch. And now every few years I'm invested in buying a Apple Watch that's going to cost me, you know, $300 plus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where we used to think, you know, headphones could be $30, $50. And now with, you know, the high-end ones, we're talking a couple $100, maybe $300. Okay, $549. Well, you know, maybe in a few years, that'll just be, yeah, that's what we buy. And when we want headphones, when we want canned headphones, if we want in-ear, you know, pods, well, you know, you have to spend, you know, above 200 quid for it. So it just might be the new normal. And we just do that. That's what Apple's counting on, I think.
Yeah. Well, the good news is if you're not prepared to spend £550 on these headphones, if you wait, apparently they're going to bring out sporty versions that'll cost £350. Is that better?
Woohoo! That's better.
Nice.
I think definitely that's a better. Bit cheeky, if I'm honest. But in saying that, I think if you've got 550 quid to spend on these, then, you know, good luck to you, as my wife clearly does, although I'm not sure which bank she's taken out of yet, so I'm not entirely sure where that's going.
Yeah, probably took it out of your share.
Yeah, exactly. I've probably paid for them. Okay, look, let's move on because I want to talk about, well, we'll get into some of the emails we've got, actually. We'll get to those in a moment. But first, let's bring in Yvonne Brooks. Yvonne works for RNIB's Technology for Life team here at RNIB, and she's here to explain to us about the range of Amazon products that are available.
Hi, I'm here today to talk about Amazon Show devices, and more particular, what additional features they have compared to the Dot and the Echo, and how accessible they are. What are they? Well, they are smart speakers like the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, but with a built-in screen. The smallest in the range is called the Echo Spot, but it only has a very small screen, and I don't believe its small screen offers much to the visually impaired. Then there is the 5, 8 and 10-inch versions, which have screens of, not surprisingly, 5, 8 and 10 inches. I personally like the 8-inch, as it has a bigger screen than the 5, but is a lot cheaper than the 10-inch, especially the new 10-inch, which incorporates a motor to allow it to rotate to variable positions. Accessibility-wise, it has both magnification and a screen reader. The buttons on the top of the show are as follows, from left to right. The mute button, which stops the show being able to hear you. The volume down and up buttons. And a sliding button, which covers the camera, so it can't take pictures if you don't want it to. The back of the device holds a power connector, a micro USB port for service, and a 3.5mm AUX output. To set up the show with voice view activated, you hold down the mute button until you hear a sound. Then put two fingers on the screen until you hear that voice view has been started. The rest of startup can now be followed using the screen reader. Once set up, the magnification is very simple to use. It is turned on in settings and then started by doing a triple tap with one finger on the screen. You can control magnification using screen gestures, such as two fingers on the screen allow you to move the screen around, and a pinch gesture allows you to decrease and in reverse to increase the magnification. The screen reader, as already mentioned, is called VoiceView, and it is the same as that on Amazon's tablet, the Fire. If you did not turn on VoiceView during setup, you can turn it on by saying, "Alexa, turn on VoiceView." Saying, "Alexa, turn off VoiceView," will turn it off. One feature that has got many visually impaired people excited is show and tell. This has been working in the States for some time now, but has only very recently come to the UK. It works by you showing an item to the camera, such as a can of soup. The command is, "Alexa, what am I holding in my hand?" If you want instructions, then say, "Alexa, help" on show and tell. However, Alexa will give you some help, asking you to show different sides, or move it up or down, or nearer or further away. After a while, it will make a sound, and then tell you what it has found. I have tried it out with a number of cans of food. It couldn't always identify the contents completely. So, for example, sometimes it would say just some words which it identified, which still enabled me to know what the food was. But for a tin of Heinz low-fat baked beans, it identified it and displayed some extra details on the screen, which were read out when I asked Alexa for details. It is also worth asking for details if it has only partially identified something, as sometimes the details, if there are any, can be very helpful. It is only reading texts, so if you show it an object that has no text, it won't be able to identify it. If you have Ring devices, such as a Ring doorbell or cameras, you can ask Alexa to show you a particular camera, e.g. "Alexa, show my Ring doorbell camera." The microphone is muted, but if you find the mic button on the left, on the bottom left, and double tap, you can turn it on and speak to anyone at your front door. Similarly, if you perhaps hear a noise in a room or hallway where you have a camera, you can ask to see that camera and it will be displayed on the screen, which might be very reassuring or give enough warning to summon the emergency services. Another useful feature is the ability to display contacts. The command is, "Show me my contacts." They are then displayed in alphabetical order in white letters, about 1 centimetre high for capitals and 0.5 centimetre high for lowercase. These can be further enlarged using the magnification gestures or read out using voice view gestures. When you find the contact you want, a single tap will open the contact. If voice view is not enabled, or a double tap if it is, you are then presented with the details of that contact. You can call a number just by tapping the number if not in voice view, or double tapping if you are. One thing which is different is the way show deals with recipes on the Echo and the Dot. You are guided through the ingredients and the recipe step by step,
and you ask for the next step after completing the first, and so on. The only difference with the show is that it is displayed on screen and you can interact with it either by touch or voice. If you have sufficient sight to be able to see it, this can stop the need for constantly having to repeat the audio. And if you are a voiceover user, you can just get bits replayed by using gestures. There are also images of the various recipes, which can be enlarged using magnification. The Amazon Show will display lyrics for songs played from Amazon Music. There is a button which you need to tap to activate this feature after you have selected the song. The lines are highlighted as you move through the song. The text is quite large, but unfortunately from the accessibility point of view, it is displayed against the image artwork. The lyrics cannot be accessed using VoiceView, even if you pause the song. To summarise, I was pleasantly surprised at how accessible the show devices are, but you will have to decide for yourself how much you would use the screen. I suspect Show and Tell, particularly as I expect it improves in the future, will become a main reason for getting one for the visually impaired community. Thanks.
Thank you, Yvonne. Yvonne Brooks there from RNIB's Technology for Life team. If you need support from the team, then get in touch. You can call the helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can email the team directly, TFL, short for Technology for Life, tfl@rnib.org.uk. Right, let's turn to the email inbox, guys.
Email, we get email. Get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Right, let's get into the email inbox. I think for the last time this year, we'll get into the mailbox. I think that's the case. Wow. Right, let's go then to Andy. What have you picked out then?
So it's been a very Amazon-themed show today, so I've picked out a couple to start with on Amazon and Lady A. The first one is from Wayne. He's talking about the Amazon Fire TV Cube. Here's a little bit of up-to-date information for Mr. Scott. I just thought I'd let you know that the Amazon Fire TV Cube with Alexa built-in is now available in the UK. And it will provide you with a brain to turn your TV on and off and to change channels on your satellite and control your DVD player. Regards, Wayne. And there's a very interesting typo in that email because it actually says, instead of "and it will provide," it says "Andy will provide you with a brain."
Excellent.
I think I will, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, I could certainly do with one, Wayne, that is for sure. I've got to say, there's a person who's on our team here who's been telling me for a while that the Fire TV Cube is brilliant. And only this week, I think, if I'm honest, you've been able to prove that to me.
Well, you know, because I buy so many bits of new technology and sometimes don't upgrade other ones. So, yes, I've been saying for probably a couple of years how wonderful this product is, not fully being able to use it because the television I had it paired with was really old and it would only turn it on, turn it off sometimes, and turn the volume up and down. But I recently have had to get a brand new television.
Had to?
And, well, yes, because the lamp or the light or whatever behind the screen in the old one blew out. And, yeah, we replaced that a couple of years ago, and I wasn't about to add more money to that to replace it again.
I remember those TVs. There's a name for them. It started with a D. Oh, what was it called? I had a TV like this years ago. It was one of those, I was going to say it's an impulse purchase. That would not surprise you really, would it? I got this thing and it was a 50-inch TV powered by a lamp. I mean, it's a bit more technical than that, I imagine.
Well, but yes, that's just what they call it.
I don't think it's just a candle in the back, you know, operating the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, it was great until, you know, the light blew. And then I thought, I can't be bothered with this. And off it went.
Well, and that's exactly the thing. A couple of years ago when it blew, it was with parts, labor, and everything, like $250 to repair. And so we did it one time. Well, I wasn't going to spend $250 again when for just a a couple hundred dollars or a few hundred dollars more on sale right now, I could get a brand new TV and finally come into a television that speaks to me. So I did, under suggestions of yours and others, get a Samsung TV that does speak to me and all that kind of thing. So it's very accessible. And now that I have a more modern television that's not 10 years old, it works with my Fire TV Cube. So yeah, I did just recently send all you guys a little demo that I did. And it's fantastic because I can switch inputs, whatever I plugged into the HDMI ports on the TV. You can easily switch between those and it does recognize what they are and what devices they are. I can change the channel. I can ask it what's on a particular channel and it'll give me the schedule for what's on, turn the volume up and down, mute or unmute, all kinds of different things. And it's so nice. It works so well.
It does. The only downside here is that I think the TV side of things will work okay. It doesn't seem to integrate very well, although it says it can with things like Sky or Virgin Media. It says it can do it, but my experience was it couldn't, not very well, or indeed at all in my case. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think I think also, if I'm honest, the information on setting this up with especially stuff in the UK is just not there. I don't see a page on Sky's website telling you how to hook this up. And I think that these companies have got to get to grips with this because it's all very well saying, well, you've got the Skybox. Yeah, but the Skybox isn't accessible to me. So I need something to put in front of that, and the Fire TV Cube could be great for this. I use it all the time for, not so much the Cube, but I would say to, Lady A, what's on Sky One tonight, or what's on Sky Atlantic, or what's on BBC Two, and it'll give me the information of what's on, so I've got an idea of what's going on. So I don't need the guide, but it'd be great if I'd be able to say, switch to Sky Atlantic now, and I'll watch my latest edition of whatever. I think there's a great potential here, but I'm very excited about the Fire TV Cube. Your demo of it was brilliant. We should actually have played it on air. It was very good. Let's get another email in, and thank you to Wayne for those comments.
Friend of the show, Kelly, emails in with the title, Latest on Lady A. Hi, gang. Just to let you know that Lady A has a latest feature. You can now get her to wake you up with your favourite song / album / artist.
Oh, that's difficult. How would you pick your favourite song or album or artist /? Unless /. Is your artist.
Yeah. All you need to do is ask Lady A to set the alarm on your favourite song / album / artist, and she will do it for you using Amazon Music. At the moment, I have asked her to wake me up to the song Adventure of a Lifetime by Coldplay. Oof. No more boring alarm sound. I might get her to wake me up by Rock the Casbah by The Clash. Why don't you guys try it? Take care. That's from Kelly Muggeridge.
I thought she was going to say, play Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
That would be good, yeah. Yeah, Wake Me Up, Aloe Black. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You can also ask for, Wake Me Up to 80s hits or something like that as well. So a playlist.
Wake Me Up to Robin Christofferson on Dot to Dot.
Hey, Wake Me Up to The Echo Show.
That's a good phrase. That's also an option. I mean, if I want to get back to sleep, that's absolutely the right approach.
Am I allowed to plug The Echo Show? Friend of the show, Sean Preece. Too late. It's already done.
Yeah. Who? I like how you just slid that in there. That was beautiful. Yeah,
loud or not, it's done now.
Exactly.
New weekly podcast, guys. The Echo Show.
If right, you like you've had your fun. Okay, let's get another email.
This is one on accessible voting. Hi, team. I just listened to your latest podcast, latest being the 13th of October, but I was dismayed to hear Tim's account of accessible voting in the States. Also, in particular, his reluctance to complain about it by complying with the system.
Yeah, come on, Tim. Start complaining, will you?
What?
His reluctance to complain by complying with the system, which is miles away from being private and accessible. In Scotland, as I'm sure you know, we have the plastic template, which can be used. And whilst it's not perfect, it does give some privacy. I also, as a point of principle, attend my polling station in person and deliberately do so to make sure the staff are aware of the existence of the template, which often they are not. But even then, I tell them about it, and they just stand there and they find it. And even look it up on the manual to see how it works. Although I've used it many times, I wait for them to give me the instructions. I can't understand, in these days of technology, how it can't be done securely online. Keep up the good work. That's from Neil.
Hmm.
Well, I don't disagree with Neil's premise that safe and secure and even online should be a thing nowadays. There are some states here that do allow you to vote online, but I wouldn't say that my experience is inaccessible. I just choose to have my wife read it to me privately at a table off in the corner, because the machine that they do offer for people that are blind or partially sighted, it's functional and it works, but I just felt like it would take me longer standing there at that machine to do that when I could just have my wife help me out and get it done faster. That was my choice.
Yeah.
However, I do know many people who did use that machine, and you put on headphones and plug in, and you know, the options are all there. You turn the dial and it you know, goes down the list of the candidates, and you hit a button to select your candidates, and it prints it out, and it is very accessible. I still think it's a little antiquated, but it works. And I don't have a complaint, at least the way that works. It's just that I knew the first time I tried it, this is going to take me a while. This is going to take, you know, some time to learn. And honestly, I had places to go. So, you know,
I don't actually think you had anything to complain about, because like you say, that option was there for you. And I right. have chosen for my wife to do it as well, simply because it's about trust and privacy.
It
and
is.
If you trust your wife and you can do it privately together.
Do you trust your wife, Tim? I mean, now's the time. I mean, look, you're among friends.
No, to go back to the template thing in Scotland, I mean, there, you know, okay, it'll be private because you can be left alone, but you have to trust the person to tell you the right order of the
candidates. That's the side of it. I mean, I'd rather trust my wife than trust, and no offense to the people who work there, and I don't right. doubt what they are capable. I mean, you know, you know as well as anyone else in America, Tim, how, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? The trust in the election process has been, you know, pushed to the limit.
Well, because there's mass voter fraud, don't you know?
I heard this, yeah. It's shocking. It's all these blind people.
Fake news.
It is.
Blind, I read somewhere, and I might be wrong here. It wasn't CNN, which of course is the home of fake news, apparently. So, you know, you can't trust anything they say with their journalists and knowledge and experience. But they apparently were saying that the reason a lot of these votes were late or it took longer to get them was because a lot of blind people had sent in their Braille ballot papers and someone had to go through all that. And I thought, you know what, it came up in one of those reports, and I thought, wow, I've never heard that before. You know, I don't think there was any suggestion that it was anyone's fault. It was nothing like that, but it was just, I guess you just don't hear that in the news very often. So it was a bit strange to just hear blind people signaled out like that. But yeah, it's an interesting topic, one I'm sure we'll come back to. We've got the Scottish elections next year, and I think the right. Welsh elections next year. So, you know, we're going to be hearing more about this, I'm sure. Okay, we've not got a huge amount of time left. Let's get on to another email.
Basilar has contacted us to ask a question. They say, I am new to listening to the podcast and I have a severe visual impairment. I wanted to ask you for tips about any technology that can help support me using the internet for research. Because at the current point in time, I don't know any other way besides copying, pasting stuff into Word. Are there any readers that can read text on Google effectively? I have Supernova software. Also, any tips on making research faster? Also, do you have any tips or life hacks for use of cooking? I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you. That's from Fazala.
Can you use a microwave? Because I could really talk you through how to get some beans going if you want. That's
or an app that will bring takeaway to you.
That's even better, because then I know it's cooked, which is always good. Well, I say that sometimes. I do question that as well.
I found this email really scary because she's saying that she copies and pastes each page of the internet into a Word document. It would be brilliant to know her level of vision, or his, sorry, don't know. Using Supernova, it could be magnification, it could be a bit of speech as well, it could be just speech, because there is good support for all the modern browsers. I mean, she may be using IE still.
I'm conscious of time, Robin, so I'm going to try. Sorry, I don't mean to cut over you, but I think what I will say is on this one, I think this is, we don't have the time to get into this here, and we really should actually. I'd love to get you on actually to talk about this, because I'd like to know more. And I think that there comes a point where I was talking to, I think, was it you, Robin, I was mentioning this to? I was talking about some video editing I was doing last week, and I was explaining that I was using a 38-inch screen at 10 times magnification. And Robin suggested to me that perhaps this was the point where I need to stop using the screen. And, you know, I know this stuff, but, you know, video is a bit more difficult than audio, right? So, you know, you do have to use a level of vision, which I'm not great at, but, you know, that's the whole point, right? So I think there comes a point, and this is what I felt for years. That's why I switched to JAWS. That's why I use VoiceOver on my phone and on my Mac. I feel that I just can't do it anymore. And I think sometimes you've got to make that decision. But I'm not saying you're there. We don't know. That's the point. But it would be good to delve into that a bit more. Look, we're going to wrap it there because a couple of things I want to say before the show ends. But I really want to thank Andy for over the year just going through all these emails and managing all this and having to put up with us never getting through these emails the way we do. And I want to apologise to everybody right here and now for the amount of emails you send. I want to thank you for them. We do read all, and the reason it takes so long, truthfully, is because we don't want to cut your emails down. We don't want to just run through them or ignore some. We want to read your emails out on air. You've taken the time to write in such brilliant emails, and I really want to get to them each time. I want to give you the respect you deserve for taking the time to listen and respond as you do. So that's why it takes so long. But granted, yes, Robin does go on a bit. slight on his character, sorry. That's what you get for mentioning your other radio show. You see, that's how it works. Yeah, I just want to mention quickly as well, we have a few specials coming up because our pattern of programmes will change a little bit over the next couple of weeks. Keep checking out RNIB's website, the Connect Radio website, I should say, rnibconnectradio.org.uk for the full schedule. We do have some specials. Next week, on Tuesday, as always, we will have our Technology for Life special. We're actually getting together the guys and girls from the Technology for Life team into the studio, virtually, socially distanced, all proper. They're going to be joining us to talk about the five big themes that have come out of the calls you've been making as blind and partially sighted people to the RNIB helpline. So we're going to be hearing about those five themes. It's really interesting when you delve into the questions that people have been getting in touch with most regularly. So, you know, it's well worth listening to because you might find answers, and I'm sure you will find answers to things you might not have thought about. So that conversation coming up next week on Tech Talk. And beyond that, we've got two-hour specials for you. You've asked for more. We've given you more. We will apologise after it's all done because we've given you too much.
They last for less after that.
But you can feast on our 2020 in review. We will be looking back at the year that was. I think we actually managed to get through it with only mentioning the word pandemic once. So that's impressive. And we're going to be joined by David Woodbridge for that. Looking forward to that conversation, as well as for our 2021 look ahead will be another two-hour special, and that is coming up, of course, in January. Details all on the RNIB Connect Radio webpage, and of course you can still catch them on the podcast. It'll all be put up there as always. Have enjoyed that. In the meantime though, thank you to Robin, to Tim, and to Andy. Thank you guys.
Thanks all.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you again for another Tech Talk next time.